This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Babs Gray, and I followed so many random dudes over the years just because of their cuteness. And now when they pop up on my Instagram, I have no idea who they are. Oops. Told you it wasn't funny. Okay.
I'm Brandy Posey, and I'm PMSing so hard right now, I might comment in my neighborhood Facebook group.
I'm Tess Barker, and one reality of being a theater kid is that you spend most of your childhood portraying singing orphans.
It's true. And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
Hello! We got Barbara, Brandy, and of course Big Tess. We got a show for everyone that's the fucking best. Come on, baby, it's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Ladies and ladies, ladies and ladies.
Boom. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show.
Welcome.
Woo, 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 woo. I'm in a bad mood, so I won't be funny or talk very much. So if you're wondering where I am, it's over in the corner.
You've been warned. Barbara's
here. That's okay.
That's her in the corner.
In a week, you can do a commentary track to this episode
there
with like
go.
What you would have said instead.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. I always think that whenever I listen back, I'm like, you were funny there, but like, what if you had done this instead?
See, you listen back. That's not... I don't ever.
That's above and beyond.
I mean, just to check, to make sure, you know, whatever is good. Or if I'm like, I think I was funny in that episode. I want to get a joke idea off of it or something.
You're brilliant.
Yeah.
I can't. That is like, that's one reason I don't like transcribing my own interviews is like the sound of my own voice to me just makes my shoulders crunch up to my ears. I'm just like,
I mean, I do listen at like 2 times the speed, just straight through, just to be like, let's just
smart.
Just make sure everything sounds good, whatever. Cool. Yeah. Let's do that.
That's a good call.
That's a good idea. Dang.
Yeah. Some people listen to us at half the speed because it makes us all sound like we're drunk. Mm-hmm. I've been told.
Well, if someone wants to forward just me in this episode, that's fine. I understand. I'll be at half speed. Don't put down my speed because I'll sound extra, extra fucked up.
Very, very slow.
Speaking of being drunk, I was at a restaurant in Santa Barbara with my uncle, godfather, and my husband, and there was a bachelorette party behind us, and they were being, it was like this really like nice, intimate restaurant.
Yeah.
And they were just being so fucking loud.
Oh boy.
And I was like, I had to tell them, I was like, it's really fun when you're part of it. Like, it was like such an ambush to everyone else that having been part
of
like
the bachelorette party that
no you? I told my uncle and John because they were all like annoyed and I was like no when you're part of it it's awesome it's,
oh yeah of yeah. course you're in your own little world
yeah
I we thought you just moved over to them and said
no.
It's really fun when you're part of it
no I just kind of had to tell everyone else in the restaurant because everyone else in the restaurant was like this is abomination. So don't be in Santa Barbara if you don't expect a bunch of UCSB frat girls to come have a bachelorette party every once in a while.
Is that the thing to expect in Santa Barbara?
Yeah. To me, Santa Barbara reeks of bachelorette parties. Like State Street on a Saturday night, that's a bachelorette party. Yeah, because it's all like...
Yeah, I guess it is. I always get Ventura and Santa Barbara confused because I've been to them both like equally and I'm always like which one is that?
Okay, so this is my area of expertise.
Yes. The California SoCal. Hold on, I want to get our guest on here in case she has any follow-up questions to the expert speaking about California beaches. She's from Richmond. We love her so much. Mary Jane French. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Beach.
Thank you.
Pro
so
beach, con
be
beach. How do you feel about beaches?
About beaches. Pro beach. That being said, the last time I did a beach trip, I think I mostly hung out at the pool and the hot tub at the beach house and didn't
that's
actually go into the
that's
ocean.
Part of, okay. That's part of the beach. I love that.
I think so. I just like bop in between. Like, okay,
yes.
I've gotten too warm. I've overheated now. Now I'm cooling off. It's too cold. And now I'm
going to
the hot tub.
I love the luxury of a pool next to the beach because you're like,
so
I'm in the clean beach.
Yeah. That's what it feels
no
like.
No crabs. For me.
Yeah.
What about, have you guys ever been to like one of those places like in Mexico or something where they have a swim up bar at the beach?
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
That sounds dope. I've never
it's
done
a good ass
it,
beach.
But...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but I agree.
No understanding of that.
No understanding. Really?
None.
You guys, once in your life, go to a swim
is
up bar.
Is it a sand bar?
No, so it's a pool at the beach. Mm-hmm. So already we're talking
about it's a pool or it's in the ocean?
It's a pool at the beach.
I was picturing India. Okay.
It starts out as a pool at the beach. Mm-hmm. What we just talked
it's
about.
It's an infinity pool that bleeds into the ocean. No.
And then, so we're already in a pool at the beach, and then there's a bar in the middle of the pool. So you swim up to a pool in the beach.
I have done this in Vegas, but not...
Yeah.
Because the Tropicana has that.
Not at a true beach.
Yes.
No.
That's just a swim-up bar, which is, we can all agree, mostly pee, but that's just the waiver you sign when you get in.
I mean, I'm pretty sure every pool is mostly pee.
Yeah. Especially in Las Vegas.
The amount of 20-something women that I know who brag about being badass because they pee in the pool without any.
Is this what's happening now? Is this the new Tide Pods?
Or maybe
bragging about pissing in a pool?
I mean, I'll piss in the ocean. We all piss in the ocean.
That's just recycled piss.
Yeah.
It's a big enough pool.
Yeah.
If the pool is big enough.
And also salt water.
It cleans itself.
The pool is just, you just add chemicals. As someone who grew up pool adjacent.
It's a stagnant body of water, and it's a pretty finite body of water.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so you just chemical it until you're just like, just enough that it kind of stings your eyes, but doesn't dissolve your eyes.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And then also enough that no one can see the pee.
Yeah. How much? What do you think? You guys, this is making me, like, I thought we kind of all agreed to not pee in pools.
We all know what's happening.
Yeah.
I mean,
I was on the same team with a lot of people that were just like, I'm letting it rip. And we're all just like, okay.
Whoa, and swim team.
Yikes. On swim teams. That's you're a all whole sharing other... a lap. Like,
ooh, that's like you're in right there all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I would say maybe, I would think, wishing you were saying like a girl in the pool with like a cocktail and she's like, I'm peeing you guys or something like that.
Yeah, if you're wasted.
No.
Yeah.
This is like the equivalent of like a high school girl being like, yeah, I can burp real loud. Like that sort of thing. I see. Proving that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well...
It's the I can be gross too.
So
which
if
is
you're
like,
doing laps and you pee, does it make you go faster? Because it like propels.
It's like a jetpack,
and it slows down the person behind you.
Right. Yeah. It's actually kind of brilliant.
Yeah, honestly, Michael Phelps. That's how he got his record. He was like, "I'm not juicing. I'm pissing." Thank you.
Michael Phelps.
His new merch is great.
It is so.
A bowl clearing stream.
Yeah. Exactly.
What was I going to say? I don't know. It reminded me of something. Have you guys ever seen, like, is the thing real? The
purple cloud? When you pee in the pool?
Yeah.
That's not real.
No, it's not real.
Wait, purple cloud. Like the stuff that people said that...
It would like change color.
It would change color.
That was just what they told us as kids to scare us out of peeing in the pool. So now we're trained as adults to not pee in the pool.
But what about that
Coach
movie?
Coach Mark always said that was a thing and everyone was bragging about peeing. So unless they were lying about peeing, which seems like a weird lie.
Yeah.
It's a weird flex.
Well, I think the thing is that it's either a lie or literally nobody in the history of every pool I've ever been in has ever peed in the pool. And I know for sure that's not true.
Right.
There's kids.
At least accidents.
We would see it sometimes if existed.
But I feel like, but what about that one movie with like David Spade and all those guys? That was like a huge plot point.
Spade's full of lies.
Like, it was called Growing Up or something, or Grown Ups.
Grown Ups.
Poor David Spade, because he really needed Chris Farley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the truth.
I like him.
I do too.
He's a good voice actor.
Yeah, okay.
He's a good weasel. He needs a foil, though.
He needs a foil. Yeah. David Spade is like sour cream. Good on other things. By itself.
You need it with something.
Yeah.
Consistent sitcom work.
Yeah. Fine. Chris Farley is funnier than David Spade. Come on.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
Obviously.
Yeah.
I just like David Spade. I don't know. I think he's okay.
I can get into that.
I can get behind just being like, I think David Spade seems sweet.
No. I don't not like David Spade.
But he really did
lose his, like, it is
his,
like
a ticket.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is like a, you know... An old comedy.
Laurel and Hardy.
Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Thank you guys for filling in the blanks.
No problem.
It's okay.
Can I just tell you guys, in sixth grade, my best friend at the time and I had a legendary Who's On First routine.
Really?
We won like state championships with it.
Really?
Like,
it was doing Who's On First or a modified Who's
No,
on
we
first.
Learned Who's On First and we did it together and it was like legendary.
We used the word legendary twice.
Was this like for like forensics or something? Or
it was for speech, yeah.
Okay,
wait,
okay.
How old were you?
Was it just
like
duo 12. And terp type?
Duo was one of the categories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did forensics.
Yeah. I loved it. Were you competitive with it?
I did duo and terp, comedic duo and terp, and we made it to We didn't start doing it until like our junior year, and because we were unhappy with our high school's theater program at that point, because after our sophomore year, our old teacher left and we got a new teacher.
Oh my gosh, that's exactly what happened to me.
whose theater degree was in like the business side of theater. Also, she bankrupted our theater department. I don't know if bankrupted is a word, but we were like, our theater department did really well under the old teacher, like to the point where we funded other theater programs in the county.
A theater program Ponzi scheme.
Exactly. Whereas, by the end of the first year of the new teacher, we were like deep in the red.
Wow.
But so it was like, we're all doing public domain. Who wants to write a one act? But junior year, we started doing forensics. And then my senior year, I ended up I only needed like 2 credits to get my advanced diploma. And so I convinced my high school to let me leave at noon every day and only take 4 classes as long as I like took classes at the community college.
I did the same thing.
But I took improv and screenwriting.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Nice.
And so I just watched all of MASH my first semester of senior year of high school. Because I would get home at noon and put in the DVD. And
That's where the real learning happens.
So if anyone wants to borrow my DVDs of MASH, though.
My high school jam was, I was obsessed with TRL, but also I was very addicted and very obsessed with Inside the Actor's Studio. All I did was watch Inside the Actor's Studio. I'm still pretty obsessed with James Lipton.
That's a great show.
He's pretty awesome.
Truly one of the best shows ever. I learned so much from that show. And it would make me cry pretty much every time.
Really?
My mom would just come home from work and I'd just be sitting there crying and eating vegetarian quiche and watching Inside the Actor's Studio.
See, I had a similar thing in middle school where my mom would come home and I would be like crying, but she wouldn't know what I was watching because I was sneaking Oprah. Because in the mid-2000s, Oprah did a lot
of
trans episodes.
Yeah. Okay.
It was definitely like sensationalizing or whatever, but I definitely was like in it, and I didn't. It was one of those things where I was like, I wonder why I'm so obsessed with this.
What would you tell her? You were like, watch it, or
I would like be in the basement or off in another room, and if someone came in, I would either just pause it and hope they didn't see, or like,
Are you serious?
There were 2 shows that I hid from everyone, and it was Oprah and Sabrina the Teenage Witch, because I now realize in retrospect that my fear with Sabrina was that if people realized that I was into Sabrina, that they would realize that I was wanting to be Melissa Joan Hart.
Right.
They would really connect those dots.
Who didn't want to be Melissa Joan Hart?
Exactly. Yeah, and so like anytime anyone walked down, just like pretend to be like channel scrolling or whatever. Ooh, okay. And like just like downplay it and just be like, the cat's funny.
I just those are both such like wholesome shows.
Yeah, it's like who would love a 7th grader that you perceive as a boy to be into Oprah?
Like, right.
Of course. Well, I mean, I think like I think we always assume that someone can see our, you know, especially if you're somebody who's pretty like honest or puts yourself out there. You're like, you can see what's right here, right in my brain. Yeah.
Well, and also I think everyone has had the thought where they like think something in a crowded space and they're like, real quick, cover that up because someone in here probably reads minds. Cover up with a different thought. I don't actually hate you that much. You're nice.
If you have no poker face, it's hard.
I don't at all.
I don't think I have a good poker face.
Maybe. I think you're good.
Really?
Sweet. Yeah. You know what? I maybe have mentioned this before, but the man who voiced Salem the Cat also wrote Paul Blart Mall Cop.
What a fun
career!
And he's voiced every version of Salem except for like the 3 words that Salem says in Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
Oh, really?
He's voiced.
Wait, what are the other versions of?
There's
Salem?
The animated series.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
which Melissa Joan Hart voices both the onsen and her little sister voices Sabrina.
Oh.
I'm a little bit of a Sabrina head.
How does Melissa Joan Hart feel about the current reboot?
I don't know. I haven't.
They should have thrown her a cameo.
They should have.
You know.
I mean, maybe
a little
maybe in season 2.
Yeah,
she could be a demon.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
She comes from another like town to like try and kill Sabrina.
I think it'd be fun if they had her in like the way that like Nathan Fillion is in Guardians of the Galaxy, where they just like completely deck her out in makeup that you can't really tell it's her.
Yeah.
Just like a Glenn Close and Hook.
It's a fun cameo. Yeah.
Oh, yes, I love a Glenn Close and Hook cameo. But I also like, is it Nicolas Cage that's an extra in Fast Times? Yeah.
Oh, I think you're right. Yeah.
He's in the fast food restaurant flipping burgers.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
We were talking about the internet, I think, before we got on, that started recording. But one time, speaking of old school, like chat rooms, et cetera, me and my friends pretended to be Melissa Joan Hart.
Yeah, no, this surprises no one. Yeah, of course you did.
But it was like the perfect celebrity to be, and people thought we were being serious because really? You were like, "Why would you fake this?"
Also, real quick, during either later, just remind me to show y'all a picture of my mom and sister, and you'll be like, "Oh, it makes sense that you were like trying to be Melissa Joan Hart because it's very on brand for the family."
Oh, okay. Is your sister like a Melissa Joan Hart vibe?
They're just both blonde and have this face.
Right, right. Your sister's more of a Ferguson type, and you're like, well, I guess that makes me the Melissa.
I mean, I really got into Melissa from Clarissa.
Right. That's fair.
I mean, let's be honest. Yeah, like, what
I mean,
a style
there's really
icon.
Three generations of Melissa Joan Hart fans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's that later show with Joey Lawrence.
Oh, we know all about that one.
Oh, good Lord. I watched that. Yep. With Joey Lawrence's various... But head trauma.
Yeah. I never watched it, but I just, every time I see it scrolling on Netflix, I'm like, there's a generation of like small religious kids who this is their Melissa Joan Hart show.
Well, that's like finding somebody that the prequels are their favorite Star Wars. You know what I mean? Yeah. Where it's like, what is your life like?
Oh, that's like every young kid.
Young kids love the prequels.
The old ones are like a novelty to them because they don't see those until like they're already into the comic books. Mm-hmm. And
well, they're way like really slower than the newer ones.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. My little brothers, there's a arcade in Pasadena where it's so fun. You pay $10 and you get free play on all these old school arcade games.
Ooh.
It's so fun. For an hour, you get free play.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and
that's
I took my little brothers and I wasn't sure if they were going to like it because like video games are so much more extra now, but they were fucking stoked. They loved.
I feel like anything with timing, you can get a kid to just be like,
And especially the old school controls and stuff. I'll get someone to animate that.
Everyone act out what you thought that looked like and then send us a video to ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com.
If it's rapidly pivoting back and forth, you're right.
Yeah, perfect. I think arcade games are probably like probably still super fun because it's like the whole pageantry of like an arcade is
especially
very fun.
If they still have the machine.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of the machines now are just like a they're jailbroken like tiny computer chip that's just like in a big box.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And they're like some really intense. Like I love the driving ones where there's a real wheel and like the seat shakes when you play it. This is making me want to go to Dave and Buster's, which I always want to go to.
Yeah.
I've never been to one.
Really?
Oh, they're real fun.
Wait.
Yeah.
I've never gone.
I can't believe this.
Yes, to go. You are going to love it.
I know. It's just adult Chuck E. Cheese, right?
Yeah,
it's a blast.
A Chuck E. Cheese you can get drunk at.
But you can also get drunk at.
Oh, you can get drunk at. Yeah.
But I
that's like most of their sales.
It's a lot of divorce. A lot of divorced dads at a Chuck E. Cheese.
You can't be childless at a Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. It also smells really bad in there.
Yeah. No, Dave & Buster's is amazing.
Ball pits, a lot like pools.
Yes.
Oh,
I've
absolutely
always thought that about ball pits. I've never. At least pools are wet.
I've
always been skeeved out by ball pits.
No, you can never let yourself get to the bottom of the ball pit because that's where you pick up all of the diseases at once. Remember when a kid just being like, gotta just stay on the top. You can't sink. You can't get down. You can't. Don't touch the bottom.
No diving.
Yeah, you can't do it.
Any kid who tried to do like a weird like plug their nose deep dive to be like funny, I'm like, oh, you poor soul.
Oh,
so Dave and Buster's is what? It's video games and you get tickets to get stuff, right?
But the tickets are all on a card.
Yeah,
like you put your tokens on a card. Yeah.
But they have like, you know, obviously the classics like the basketball and skee ball.
But there's this one game so a couple years ago when one of my friends was moving away from Richmond, we did like a going away thing that ended up just being like him and two of us. Like there were three people total, which is honestly probably for the best. But I became obsessed with the game that's, it's like maybe seven block panels and it starts with like three blocks going back and forth. You hit a button and it stops. Then the row above that, it goes back and forth. You want to hit it so that it times so that it just stacks up.
Yeah.
And if you get to a certain point, you get like 20,000 tickets whatever. Or like 2,500 probably is what it was. But it's like, and it just gets faster as you go up. And if you like hit it and two of them are on top of the stack and one's over, you lose one and then it just goes down to two. And basically it's a game that, and it costs like 10 tokens to do, but it is I just get way too obsessed into the one game that has a really big payoff if you win.
Yeah.
And I won twice. I feel very proud of myself.
Did you get a prize?
I got my friends some Jake and Finn from Adventure Time, because the two of us that showed up were me and the person who was going to move to New York with him like a couple months later. Mm. And so I got them Jake and Finn plush dolls.
Oh, that's well played.
That's really good.
Because they're besties. And
aww. Aww. Wow, you got enough tickets for some plush dolls. That's like, big.
Yeah,
that's
you weren't fucking in that day. They don't just give
twice.
Those away.
Wow.
Sean and I have a tradition when we go to Catalina, we go to the arcade there and we always play Deal or No Deal. Mm-hmm. Which
oh my
is
gosh, I just played that there.
Super lucrative, right?
Yeah.
And then before we leave, we give all our tickets to a kid.
That's fine.
We don't need
that's
the pencils.
Oh man, I got some shitty slime with mine. It exploded in my hand.
Catalina slime get you every
now
time.
Now I need to know. Now I'll remember next time to give it to
a child. I feel like y'all can get away with that because you're like a wholesome appearing couple, and you're like, here you go. But I feel like one singular adult just be like, hey kid, want some tickets?
Really?
Want some tickets for your friends?
You're like, hey, do you want these?
I'm just always paranoid about. When I first started transitioning, I started getting like dagger eyes from parents in public, and so I'm just like very like, I gotta be an upstanding citizen on the outside.
Yeah, yeah.
You like salute the children.
Does it help to also
stay
keep
in
the
school?
Does it help to also keep the tickets on the inside of a trench coat? That you pull off the rows of them.
I do have some general lifestyle things that don't add to it. That's true. I ball them up in my sock.
Yeah. We're gonna go win some tickets. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Lady to Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Tess.
And we're with Mary Jane French. And we're going to play a little game to get to know you better.
Okay.
Called Who, What, When, Where, Why. We generally only get to who or what, but we'll see what happens.
That's fair.
It's all a jump off point.
Mm-hmm.
Who, what, where, when, who, what, where, when, who, what, where, when, who, what, where, when,
why? All right, here we go. Who do you wish Oprah would interview? Hasn't she interviewed like everybody?
Pretty much. I mean, she has a podcast now, so I don't know who she hasn't interviewed.
Yeah. Well, I guess on the show, because I don't know. Yeah, the podcast.
Is Oprah still going?
On the podcast?
She did
a supplemental interview after leaving Neverland. That was really good. She like pops up and does, and Super Soul Conversations, she does a video version of, which you hear on the podcast.
So she's got like a bat signal. She appears when
pretty
needed.
Pretty much. She has her own empire and does whatever the fuck she wants.
That's fair. If you get to that point, you can do that.
Do what you gotta do.
I mean, I feel like I've really gotten everything that I could want out of Oprah. Just as I mentioned earlier, Oprah was my, like, I don't know why I'm so into this, but they're talking about alternative genitals. Uh-huh. I'm real intrigued.
And you're getting the VHS tape ready.
I'm an infant. TiVo is around.
Oh, okay.
True.
I actually thought the other night, because Sean is reading Howard Stern's book, and I guess Howard Stern tried to get Hillary on a bunch of times in 2016, and I was like, who needed to interview Hillary is Oprah. Mm-hmm. I don't know if she's interviewed Hillary before, but I would love to see her interview Hillary
but
now.
I feel like that would also be a little futile, because I feel like Oprah's like dedicated fan base are already like the neoliberal folks who are already over
Hillary.
Oh,
I don't mean in terms of any kind of like transformative agenda or anything. I just think she's the only person who could legitimately get an interesting interview out of Hillary.
That's fair.
Yeah,
she's the only person who I think could get her walls down and actually ask provocative questions where you wouldn't necessarily get the,
and she's
like,
rich enough that everyone in the audience could get an electoral vote under their seat.
You get one.
That makes sense.
I'm in the electoral
college.
She'd
actually be
now.
Like, I don't have to defend myself every second? Maybe I could like try to be a person.
Yeah, and Oprah is just such a ninja at getting people who are guarded to to bring their walls down.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I just love Oprah.
I think the answer is me. I want Oprah to interview me.
Oh, that's a good
answer.
Can you imagine being on her podcast?
I mean, I imagine every interview scenario possible, to be honest. It's like how I pass the time.
I think I've thought about, like, yeah, being a late night or something, but I don't know. It would be funny to be interviewed by Oprah because I feel like she would just be like, wait, who the fuck am I talking to? Like,
how did she get in here? Yeah.
What is she would have, though. That's the beauty of Oprah. Like, Gail? That was what I loved about the old Oprah show is it was so random. Like, it would be like, up next, Nicole Kidman. And then this teacher who doesn't like to wear shoes to school.
Yeah, absolutely. It was very much like what everyone would give, like, Carson props for. Mm. Oprah also did, and no one gave her, like, proper credit, where she would just, like, have people on because they're, like, vaguely interesting.
Right. Yeah.
And, like, yeah, this lady's just really old. Let's see what her life is like.
It was such a good show.
Yeah, it was really good.
It had it all.
That's why I had a DVR full of it.
Do you remember in her last season when Chicago arranged a massive flash mob for her?
Yes.
That was like, when what happened?
Wait, what is this? I don't know this.
So good.
I like to imagine that just the city of Chicago didn't even plan it. They just knew it was going to happen.
They were like, we feel Oprah.
They just all have a small antenna under their hair that just dings.
It's Oprah's last day. Got to get on down.
Was it her last day?
I don't know.
Or you said last season.
It was either her last day or her last season.
Yeah.
But basically they surprised, and you know how fun it is to watch Oprah get surprised, right? And
well, because she's that level of rich where it's a feat.
Yeah, totally.
It doesn't happen often.
Yeah, for sure. So they pan to a screen and outside, like, they have aerial views and it's like more people than were at the Women's March, the anything march. Like, the streets of Chicago are it's small. It's just filled with human beings. It's just like nothing but people. And they start this amazing flash mob that, like, starts in the beginning and the dancing moves back like a roll through the streets of Chicago.
What?
And so then from the aerial view, you just see like this amazing fucking flash mob for Oprah. It was amazing TV.
That sounds great. Secondly, who all is interested in starting a band called Filled with Human Beings?
Wait, is it to a Black Eyed Peas song?
Maybe.
Probably. It was around that time.
Yeah.
It was around that time.
I got a feeling.
Yep.
Hold on.
Wait, we gotta watch
this. I gotta watch a little bit of this. Come on.
Oh, they're playing.
Oh, maybe she did know about it. Maybe I'm not remembering it exactly.
Are you ready? she's like starting it.
Okay. Yeah. But I, you guys, just watch. It's really good. This is that was my perception versus what really happened.
This is hilarious.
Yes.
Oh my god.
It's just them like doing a. I don't think this is it.
This is not it?
Well, I don't know. Isn't it just them performing?
I looked up Flash Mob.
Oh, it this might, is what came out.
Come on.
She's just introducing the Black Eyed Peas.
I just want to hear her yell Black Eyed Peas. Hold on.
To the Black Eyed Peas!
That is a very of a moment. Oh, man.
Wait, what happens?
They're just... Jesus.
I do really like the song.
Yeah, me too. It always gets me in a good mood.
I will listen to it if I'm getting ready.
Oh, my God. There's kind of this shot of Oprah with her phone recording it. That's super funny.
Well, because it's important that our icons age as well.
Oh, wait, you're right. They're all standing still because they're about to dance.
I think so.
Did you see that lady's face? She was
like...
They're
all prepared
waiting.
For
they're
something.
They're all waiting to dance. Look.
So wait, is it that Oprah's surprised that there's a flash mob, or
I think so.
Like,
that's
she's
how
just
I
introducing
it.
Them, and then it turns into a flash mob.
Okay. When are you guys gonna do it?
This is so weird.
Oh man.
Oh, they're coming.
Now they got some dance moves. Okay.
She's like starting to notice.
So like one little group of people started dancing. Oh, you're right. Okay, so they're dancing in
just
the front,
bit by bit.
Oh, and that's fun.
Everyone's standing so still behind them.
I know.
It just keeps coming over and over.
Shots of her reacting.
Like, it's slowly growing.
Oh, that's fun.
Oh, that's cool. She's so excited.
I'm so glad I started filming.
Oh, you're right. Okay, I see the joy.
I think this is arguably the most basic
joy
I've seen Oprah, though.
Yeah, she's really basic. She has a very basic happiness.
Which is great.
This is just a day
it's
for
really
her.
Sweet.
Everyone deserves to have a basic happiness.
Well, it's just nice to see a celebrity taking their own basic videos. You know what I mean?
Right, totally. It's also cool because it's like...
she's aware of this being professionally recorded.
Oh, this is like how many people you would have to do this to impress her, like, if she was getting... proposed to or something.
You're
like,
a little... Yeah, exactly. Sorry, Stedman, but this is the level you're going to have to bring it.
What if this ended with Stedman proposing? She'd be like, you ruined it.
This chick is like in the middle of all of it.
Yeah. Look how cool that looks.
That's pretty cool.
That's cool.
I can't believe everyone's in on
Isn't it amazing?
There's got to be one guy in there who's like, what the fuck is happening?
How did they do this?
I don't know. This is the power of Oprah for sure.
It's the power of Will.i.am, let's be honest.
That's fair.
This looks so weird. They're like,
hope this is compelling podcasting.
Guys, we'll share this.
Glad you can third party.
Yeah. So anyway, that happened.
That's great.
It's so funny. There's like two reaction shots of her.
Gosh. It just keeps cutting to her. That's so funny. To kick off to her 24th season. There you go.
Yeah. All right. So I remembered her.
Now we got to raise the stakes next time we kick something off.
Exactly.
Well, you got to get Black Eyed Peas. Or at least Will.i.am. Or Fergie.
Yeah.
We have had a decent amount of dancing. When we did live shows, we did we made the whole audience dance to the first Wives Club.
You Don't Own Me.
Everyone put on white jackets and we
danced.
Good
pump up song.
Yeah.
We did obviously the Robin Call Your Girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
I got drunk at the movies last night, and on the way home I made Sean listen to Dancing on My Own like three times in a row.
So good.
I need to know what movie though.
Long Shot.
Oh, I haven't seen
How was it?
It was cute.
I've heard it's good.
It was cute. Nice. I liked it. Yeah.
I'm like annoyed by it, but I hear it's good.
Yeah.
Long Shot?
It's
one of Seth Rogen.
Seth Rogen one.
Yeah. Honestly, it's what you think it is, but like it's just kind of nice. I mean, the dialogue is good enough, and it's like cute.
I've got the AMC A-list thing. I'll see it before it leaves theaters. Yeah. It'll be a morning viewing for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good like daytime movie.
I'm big on pajamas at the movies. Oh, yeah.
John Wick 3 is supposed to be great.
Wait, really you couldn't have done Detective Pikachu?
Oh, sorry. I haven't seen the first two.
It rules. Dude, he goes on a rampage because somebody came after his dog. The whole thing is him getting revenge for fucking with his dog.
Is this Keanu Reeves?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's Keanu.
I'm sorry, I slept on the first John Wicks.
That's okay.
No, but you could have done Detective Pikachu is what
Pikachu?
I'm saying.
Pikachu?
I don't,
There's
I
a Detective
can't.
Pikachu movie out right
yeah.
now.
Oh, no.
It's the most fun movie in theaters at the moment.
I've heard it's very
Who
fun.
Plays
it's
Pikachu?
Very fun.
Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, really?
Apparently,
okay, now I kind of want to see it.
Yeah.
It's very fun, and I'll tell y'all something that's a spoiler later because I don't want to share it in normal. But I found out some very fun information about it. But anywho,
we'll save that for the top secret session.
Yeah.
We're gonna spoil Detective Pikachu.
Spoiler alert! Top secret session where we all try to outspoil each other.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Yeah,
I've got
it.
Some
that's
shit on Darth Vader.
Yeah. Oh, no. I will say the first time I saw Star Wars, the first time I saw Empire, it was in, not Empire. Oh, yeah, Empire and Jedi was in theaters because I waited to see it
until
they re-released it.
That's nice.
Okay, that's
which
fun.
Was really, yeah, it was really fun. But I did not expect Empire to end when it did. And I was like, what? I was like, where are they going? They need to go save Han. And
honestly,
I was like so pissed.
I know that this is a poor... I know a lot of people disagree with me on this. Empire is the worst one in that trilogy, in my opinion.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
I like it, but I also don't...
I'm a big Return of the Jedi person.
I also like
I love the Ewoks. Yeah. I think they're excellent.
Yeah, they're really fun.
Yeah, they're really fun, but
you
also they're frightening.
Yeah.
Because when they captured them, they were going to eat them.
Yeah.
But I still want
they're drumming stormtrooper helmets, and I'm assuming the head is still in there.
Like, oh, yeah. Yeah, they're adorable little murderers, for sure.
Oh, no.
The heater just came on.
Anti-Ewok heater.
The heater is like, what did you say about the Ewoks? Excuse me?
If you're listening to this, it might sound like an Ewok just started attacking us.
Yeah, it was like, C-3PO's buddy came in. And he was like, excuse me, I have something to say about the Ewoks.
Everything in Jabba's palace is gold. Also.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's not a single thing on Tatooine in that movie that's not amazing.
Yeah.
I agree. I mean, I used to be a huge Star Wars fan. I don't really care anymore. So I'm
fun.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's fun.
And it's why I can advocate for Detective Pikachu so much, is that, like, every, like, big budget, I don't know, I've become such a, like, 20-something who angrily uses the word capitalism.
Yeah.
Like, with big budget movies, I'm like, it's just fun. It's just, I just have to, whatever, I give it a fun out of fun. Like,
right. I give it a shut my brain off for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And
also,
that's fine.
I feel like the you know, like Disney and the other like massive studios have just figured out like what the narrative formula is of like,
that's
this is how people will be satisfied.
Yes.
And it's like, it's not going to be an amazing film, but it is going to engage you and pull at whatever heartstrings you have attached to this.
And generally franchise. It's way better than you're right. They found the formula and it's like, there's going to be good jokes in here. They're going to like find a way to pull this off.
Yeah,
also,
it feels comfortable.
The thing that I think Disney has going for is that at this point they own so many properties that they can just hire artists, like writers who actually care about the property but are also have like that same formula down. And so like that's why I think the new Mary Poppins is really good, is because the people behind it like clearly actually loved it, and Disney's just like, great, that means money.
I didn't see it. I want to see it.
It's real fun.
I was hearing it was good.
A lot of the Disney Broadway shows are pretty good too for that reason. I mean, there was a while where Disney was the only one who could get a Broadway show made, because that's how much effect
I will say this new Aladdin.
I'm going to see it because I've got like an imitation movie pass type deal.
Right.
Yeah. I saw the new Mary Poppins, like, I don't remember if it was Christmas Day or Christmas Eve, but I saw it with Joe Kay, and so we were just like sobbing next to each other the whole time.
I don't love a lot of CGI, so it's just really hard for me to think of Will Smith acting like in a green box to no one, you know?
It seems like a lot of it is just Will Smith in a genie costume.
Yes.
Yeah. Like a lot of it, they just skin tone.
Oh, I love
it. I've always will.
That's why I don't want to see him just being CGI. I want to see him as him, you know?
Yeah.
That's the only thing. I just don't
A lot of it seems to be him as him, just like with like a top of the head ponytail.
Yeah.
But I mean, he's not acting with anyone. Like, it's just all computer. I just don't
I
don't like.
Yeah. And Dobby was an orange ball on a stick.
Right.
Dobby.
That's why Dobby fucking sucks.
Like, R2 is great. Clearly a practical effect.
Shout out to Dino, my former foster, who looks exactly like Dobby.
I thought you were about to say looks exactly like R2-D2.
Yeah, he's my robot. I saw robots at JPL yesterday. It was pretty dope.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
We went to JPL, has this open house thing where you can like go tour the facilities. People were very nerdy.
Yeah.
Hello.
It is rocket science.
It was literally rocket science. No, I'm just kidding. But it was, no, they were. But it was really cool. Like the.
It's cool, but full of nerds.
Yeah. But it's cute. The engineers talk to you about like what they're working. It's like a science fair, but with the smartest people in the world.
They weren't just doing volcanoes. And, like...
yeah, exactly.
They were making an actual volcano.
Yeah. They're like, this is literally.
They're like,
a piece
see,
of
we
Mars.
Did this, but we actually just erupted Mars.
Yeah, exactly.
The world's about to end.
We're gonna destroy a planet because we can.
Yeah. But yeah,
we're all doing that.
Remember how the Large Hadron Collider turned out? You're fine. I know you had panic attacks in the 8th grade, but you're fine.
Don't worry about it.
Let's do this next question because we do need to know this.
Okay.
This is important information.
What don't people know about Richmond?
That it is, the way I describe Richmond to people is that it is, if Portland, Oregon was forced to confront its terribly racist history.
Wow.
Which is to say that it's like a very hipster town, and it has like VCU, the college that I went to, is, the number one public art school in the country. You can't drive by without learning that. And so it has like a lot of like hipstery artsy stuff, but instead of just like being in a state that where it used to be illegal for black people to live, when Portland like ignores that. Sorry for shitting on Portland. I love Portland, but it's a thing. Richmond is the former capital of the Confederacy, and so you can't ignore that. Like, we have flaggers, we have Monument Avenue, which you can infer what's there. Actually, it's five monuments, four of which are Confederate, one of which is Arthur Ashe. Which is weird because, like, he was a winner. But then, my jog back when I lived in Richmond was from my front door. And then I jogged to Jefferson Davis's grave, gave it the finger, and jogged back. Wow.
Give you just enough energy to, like, finish up.
Yep. Always motivated me. Every now and then there were people, like construction workers, like, sprucing it up. And I was always like, I'm still giving it the finger, but now I'm a little scared because there's, like, muscly people who are, like, doing maintenance on this. Yeah.
But you said, like, you feel like they had to confront it.
It's at least it's not resolved, but it's at least like a conversation that Richmond cannot avoid having.
Yeah.
You have to acknowledge, like, oh, awful things have happened here. And that's something that I at least, I'm a white kid, so I'm not like the arbiter of whether or not shit's okay, but like, I do appreciate that Richmond, there's at least an air of like, we know. We know that shit has happened, and that's...
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, Richmond's it's my favorite little... I love it. I love it so much.
Yeah. Also, Guar has a bar there.
Yes.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got tater tots there.
Yeah, yeah. It rules. Guar bar.
Guar bar.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Yeah, Guar's from Richmond.
Is it just like being inside of Guar?
They have all their costumes like on mannequins and stuff upstairs.
Whoa.
Yeah. It's pretty fun. Food was good. I remember those tots were pretty tasty.
Yeah, I got my sister some merch there. She likes Guar a lot.
Yeah. They're very fun.
And then every summer there's the Guarbecue.
Oh, I've heard of that. Yeah.
That they headline. And Guar is a big deal. A lot of people have petitioned to take down the monuments on Monument Avenue and just have them
Holy
be Guar.
Fuck,
that would be amazing.
That should happen all over
like,
across
just
America.
Dave Rocky. Like,
dude, just a giant odorous
if
Ugra.
If we could
would be
replace
insane.
All the Confederate monuments in America with like pop rock stars and
it would make
stars.
So much more sense.
Yeah. No, I would love that.
Please,
a giant statue of Guar still on a horse with one hoof.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's still the original statue. You just remove Stonewall Jackson and put Dave Brocky on the horse.
Exactly. It's like, come on, the horse didn't know what he was doing.
Yeah.
It's unfair to the horse. Did you guys see yesterday? I don't know why this made me laugh so fucking hard, but the second race in the Triple Crown, so there was the Kentucky Derby, and then I forget what this race is called, but that was yesterday.
Preakness, maybe?
Maybe, yes.
Or it's something. Is
yeah, I think it might be Preakness. Mm-hmm. The horse ditched his fucking jockey at the beginning of the race, and then he stayed in the race.
Buck?
Oh, shit.
The jockey, kind of just got flung off, and then the horse just stayed in the fucking race.
That's beautiful.
There was one horse riding without a jockey.
What a good boy.
No, he didn't win, but he did quite well.
That's
amazing.
I know. I was so proud of him.
Also, one thing that I do want to say, just because I got to squeeze it in as my Richmond shout out, is that Richmond has a better queer scene than I think anyone gives it credit.
I'd believe that.
To the point where like when I moved to LA I was like I don't know if LA is gonna have as good a queer community.
Wow.
Well, because Virginia geographically is a massive red state,
right,
except for
sense.
Like
it's
Northern
totally.
Virginia is like corporate liberal because it's the suburbs of DC.
Yeah,
but Richmond's where you have like anarchists, socialist punks, queers, and like so it's just a bunch of like crusty queer cuties with like gay mullets and septum piercings and jorts, and they're all bike couriers and despite the fact that so much of the town is cobblestone.
They get those shocks.
Exactly. It's just a bunch of people have like a complex around proving that they're tough, but also being like, I want to wear jorts while I do it, though.
Yeah.
That makes sense. It's all concentrated.
Everyone in the state just like flocks to Richmond and huddles together like penguins for warmth. And Richmond's like the size of a middle school in that like there's people that you just like nod at for 5 years. You're like, I don't know them, but I see them in the halls. That's my Richmond report.
That's awesome. That gives me so much faith. I love that shit.
I love my town.
I mean, we're going for, you know.
Yeah, you're doing Second Best Fest, right?
Yes. So, very excited. Come out and see us if you're listening from around there.
Yeah.
Super excited.
We'll be bopping around your town, exploring.
Heck yeah.
Tell me where the cold brew is.
Go to Lamplighter. Lamplighter Coffee Roasters. That's my home shop.
Oh, Lamplighter, here I come.
Go to the one on Addison, not Morris.
Okay.
It's the cool one.
I'll listen back to this episode to get that later.
Brandy.
It's an abandoned gas station.
Yeah, I'll write it down later.
I'll text you.
We'll be back with some lady problems in a second. Hey, we're back in Lady and Babs.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess.
And we're with Mary Jane French.
Hey!
We're going to give people some advice.
Sounds great.
Y'all ready for that?
I'm here for it.
Y'all ready for this?
Insert Oprah flash mob. I'm still so happy about that. Okay.
Lady problems. Lady problems, do you have them? Lady problems, do you have them? People have them.
Hi, ladies and guests. Long-time listener, second-time lady problemer. Before I get started, I want to say that I recently became a lady family member, and to all the other long-time listeners who aren't supporting the show on Patreon, what are you waiting for? It's so worth it. Pony up that cash.
Aw, thank you.
You heard it. Here's my problem. I'm engaged and my future mother-in-law does not like me, and I sincerely believe it's because of who I am and not really because of anything that I've done. I'm transgender, and she knows that about me because my fiancé told her before I was introduced to her. I was fine with that, and in fact pretty thrilled that she was willing to be so upfront with her mom about it. Her mom is very religious, pretty conservative, and from the South. That's not a knock on the South. I'm just a Midwesterner and interact with much differently than they do. So that's made this whole situation much more difficult, too. Well, the first time we met, about 2 years ago, the woman was an absolute ice queen. She wouldn't look me in the eye, ask me any direct questions, or really engage with me in conversation. I took the hint and backed off and gave them the space and time with each other without me in their business. It really hurt my feelings that it was happening. I just didn't really know how to handle it. So I just sat by myself on my phone a lot and just to avoid it. My fiance got super mad and told me that I was being rude and distant. I explained to her what was going on, but she just got pissed and didn't really understand. So I dropped it and did my best just to play along for the rest of the time. She saw it as me being disrespectful and not trying hard enough to get to know her mom. I came out as queer when I was in high school and transitioned 6 years ago, so I absolutely, unequivocally know when someone does not like me because of my identity. I've dealt with it from classmates, teachers, strangers, and several other partners' parents before. It's like a sixth sense. I can feel it in my bones. And anyone else who is gay, queer, or trans will tell you the same thing. It is so absolutely obvious that this is the case with my future mother-in-law. I'm not crazy, even though I'm being treated like I am. She doesn't ever say anything directly hateful, nor has she said anything about it directly to my fiance, but holy crap, I know I'm not wrong about what is actually going on underneath this all. It has been about 4 times since that first time and nothing has changed. She visited this past week and it was the worst it has ever been in this long time. I actually gave up completely and was actually acting rude back. I'm so ashamed of this, but I'm a grad student and this was during finals week. So I was working a lot, finishing up my own work and grading students' work while not sleeping well because I volunteered to sleep on the floor in our home office so my fiance's mother could share the bed. It was the perfect storm for me to lose my cool. I'm not proud of it, but I was just worn down after being treated so poorly over and over again. For example, I got up later one morning because I was sleeping on the floor and my fiance was in the shower getting ready. I greeted her mother with a good morning and she didn't look up from the book she was reading while sitting on the couch and didn't say a word. If she ever did respond other times, she wouldn't make eye contact and to this day has never asked me a direct question about myself, my family, my work, anything at all. So this time I just stopped trying and it clearly showed, which I know made my fiance feel like shit and certainly didn't make me look good either. Also, it's important to know that any other time she's visited, she's planned it around when I was going out of town. She explained it as not wanting to be in the way, but I know in my gut it's because she doesn't want to be around me. My fiance refuses to believe this and says it's about feeling weird about being in our space. Also, hotels exist, and I even offered to pay for her if that was really the case. This past time, I wasn't away, so I just got supercharged because it was an entire week of being around her. She left today, sure enough. My fiance is furious with me for not being nice enough. We got in a huge blowout fight, and she refuses to believe me that her mother doesn't like me because of who I am. I admit that I acted terribly this week, and that wasn't right. She told me that I was just leaning on that to justify my bad behavior, which almost pushed me over the edge to calling it out myself. But it's a not. But I'm not just because she genuinely understands what it's like to deal with this, which I wouldn't wish on her at all. It fucking sucks to be treated like this. Now it seems like I'm stuck with the task of either having to make things better with her mother or we're done. I really don't want our relationship to end over this, especially because I know she knows that her mother is actually pretty rude overall. She complains about it all the time when she's not around her, but she just doesn't see it the way that we've been around each other. She's rude to the waitstaff. I swear I'm not crazy. Any advice on how I can smooth things over with a monster-in-law? I suppose referring to her in that way isn't a great start, but holy crap, it's so infuriating and frankly painful to deal with this over and over again. Genuinely, despite my bad behavior this past weekend, at the end of the day, I'm not an asshole. I'm just human. I'm only human and I can only take so much. Do any of you have to deal with difficult family members and your partners? Any advice would surely be appreciated.
Oh, this is awful. I'm so sorry.
Well, you're definitely not crazy.
Yeah.
You said you were just confirming that twice. And yeah, it's pretty obvious that people need to trust that you know what's going on.
Also, did this person share their pronouns?
No. Not that I can see.
Oh, no. Okay.
Ah, that's so infuriating.
Yeah.
I mean, I really wish that this person's fiance would be more understanding of, like, the position that they're in.
Yeah. I think that's the big issue here is at the end of the day, everyone has different kinds of family members, but if you are about to get married to this person,
then you need to prioritize your person.
Bottom line. And doing anything less than that is just unacceptable.
Yeah. I mean, like, parents are important, obviously, but also, like, I think that this person's fiance needs to kind of, like, I don't know, buck up. Like, I hate to take, like, a tough love, like, stance on things, but just, like, I think this person's fiance needs to, like, be more understanding of the fact that they're in, like, a fucking rough position, and, like, I don't know, like, I even recently, it's fucking stressful to be someone's, like, trans partner meeting their parents, because it's, like, easy.
I'm sure, yeah.
Easy to, like, I mean, like, parents like me generally, but even meeting my boyfriend's mom somewhat recently, like, she, like, my boyfriend is also trans, and so I'm like, well, I know that she's not gonna, like, be, like, necessarily weird about that in the first place, but, like, we're polyamorous, and, like, the day that I was supposed to meet her, I found out that she had already met my boyfriend's boyfriend, who is cis, and, like, loved him, and I got, like, real in my head around, like, oh, God, like, I'm, like, you know, because, like, my boyfriend's boyfriend is, like, something that she might have, like, you know, anticipated him bringing home at this age, whereas I'm not, and so it's, like, easy as, like, you know, someone's trans partner to, like, get in your head about that, and I really wish that this fiance would be a little more compassionate about that.
Well, and I don't like that the reaction to their fiance that their fiance had was, oh, you're overreacting. I always think that's a huge red flag.
She's just generally rude, and it's like, okay, but, like,
you're not being listened to.
There's a tone. Honestly, and I do want to steer a little away from just saying your fiance should do better, because that's not something necessarily that this person has control over, but, like, this sounds like it's worth counseling.
Yeah.
Like,
no, I was going to say that. Yeah. Like, this is, like, a third party needs to be, like, you need to, you're here for your partner.
Yeah. It's important that the fiance prioritize their partner's comfort in their own home.
Yeah.
And, like... Yeah, I don't know. I totally understand people being like, I can't control my parents at all, because parents can sometimes feel like, you know, the weather, you can't really, like, affect them. They're just going to be how they are. Mm-hmm. And so maybe the fiance just feels like she needs to plead with this person. Like, you're the person that I know that I can affect change with. So I'm trying to make you try harder. And, like, granted, there is a middle ground where, like, you know, I fucking hate giving queer people this advice, but maybe grin and bear it a little bit.
Yeah.
Just, like, for the sake of your fiance, but also your fiance, like, needs to be more understanding.
That's the thing. Like, it would be one thing if their, like, fiance was like, look, I agree, she's a bitch. I totally agree. Right, she's really sucks. Like, I'm seeing this with you. Like, for my sake, is there anything we can do to, like, make this a workable situation? But, like, her minimizing this person's problems is like, no.
Well, it's like, you can't. Why does my mom? What's going on with her matter more than the feelings you're telling me, which are very real.
Exactly.
Very valid.
Yeah.
And also, maybe this is a conversation that the fiance should have with the mom.
Yeah.
Not when the person who wrote in is present, but just be like, hey, so I know there's some tension here.
Yeah.
What's up? Because, like, it felt like y'all didn't get off on the right foot, but you, like... Mm-hmm. It seemed like that wasn't based on a bad interaction up front. It seems like that, like, it just started out that way. And
I mean, I think it's the fiance's responsibility to bridge that gap, because you obviously can't do it.
And, like, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No. I'm just, go ahead.
But, like, I don't know. Like, speaking to, like, what this person can do, like, I don't know. I'm kind of, I'm real waspy, so I am very good at handling conflict by just being like, let's minimize time around each other and be polite and cordial when I'm there and, and whatever. But, like, I do think that, and that might unfortunately be your best option, but I think that having some sort of mediator around this conflict with your fiance is vital, because I honestly don't think that you can... I don't think you're in a position where you can affect change with your future mother-in-law.
No.
And I think you should be, like, less apologetic about asserting your boundaries. Like, they were very, like, quick to put blame on themselves for just being annoyed that they are being treated this way in their home. So I think that is one thing that you do have control over is like you absolutely should feel comfortable to set boundaries in your own home, and you're well within your rights to say, you know what, when she visits, she's going to stay in a hotel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And also, well, and also just like you're already doing so many good gestures of just being like, I'll sleep on the floor in the office.
Yeah.
Like, she can take the bed.
That.
Like, I'm like, you're being like a good host. And like, that shouldn't be seen as nothing just because when y'all interact, like, you don't know. Like, because if someone's fucking icing you out, like, it's hard to be like, so how about this weather here? Probably different from where you came from, right?
Like, if they're not throwing a bone at all, it's like,
it's hard to engage. Like you engaged and said, hey, morning. And then she just fucking,
she's
like,
cut off.
And that's the thing is, you're not crazy. I hate that. I hate that you would be made to feel that you're, that you get gaslit and are told that your feelings are incorrect. I mean, it's just so maddening that your partner wouldn't try to meet you halfway with this. I mean, it sounds like obviously it's something worth fighting for, but I would definitely go to counseling and talk to a third party. Because
I think that's a really good
You need
good
a mediator
call.
Between you two.
I think counseling is important because it sounds like the primary issue here is mostly with how your fiance and you are trying, like, unable to come together on how to handle the situation with the mom. Because honestly, as much as it sucks, like, it is totally possible to live with particularly when they live far away, like to live with family members that you just don't really get along with, but
you can be cordial around Thanksgiving.
That's totally possible. But when the person that you're closest to in the scenario is upset that you're like not trying hard enough,
for sure,
heavy air quotes on that.
Well, you've got to be able at like the end of a shitty dinner with her at the end on the car ride home to be like, what the fuck was that? And she's got to be able to meet you there at the very least. Like, your partner needs to be able to have your back in those situations.
Absolutely. No, everyone's got their
100%.
Their like parental baggage, and I get that. And that's why I think a mediator is like necessary for this.
Yeah. Well, I think that's also part of like the moving into a new relationship too, though, is being like, no, we are a family unit now.
I mean, you know? I think like if you're the way I think is like, if you're married, like, power rankings, that person's number one.
Absolutely.
That's what I think it means to like be getting married.
I mean, like, 100%
I mean,
and it really sounds to me, just to like reiterate the point, like, that this like the fiance might just feel like she has no control over her mother, but might be able to sway her fiance, and that,
and she might subconsciously be doing that.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't think that's like a conscious decision for sure. I think. But that seems. I mean, like, a lot of people like can't handle the idea of like conflict with involving their parent and someone else they love. But that. Get a counselor.
Definitely. I mean, it's hard to stand up to parents, but that is part of like life, is learning how to kind of deal with that and make your own tribe.
And like, I definitely think the long-term solution to this is going to result in you just kind of having to grin and bear it to a certain degree. But if you can just get on the same page with your fiance, I think that'll be
easier. Sounds like they have already, they've learned the grin, they've done the grin and bear as long as possible.
Absolutely.
And it's like, you're being abusive at this point. Her mom is being abusive. It's like,
absolutely. And I'm not saying like, oh, it's on you to like make this work.
No, she, or they obviously tried to...
Where you can affect changes with the partner, not the mother-in-law, though. I think it's like, that's a long-term goal as mother-in-law, maybe, whatever.
But the fact that that dynamic is causing such a rift with the fiance, I think, is what needs immediate attention.
It's so tough. It's just so frustrating. Like, it's so, sorry, I'm just going through some shit right now, but it's so hard to like, you find somebody that you want to be with, and there's just, it's so frustrating that something like this would have to get in your way, because it's, life is hard enough, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. It just sucks when these other factors have to like come in and get in the way of that.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's so frustrating. I'm sorry. Well, we hear
like,
you.
To that point, you know, no situation is perfect. So I think like, it's really just about like asserting your boundaries and communicating and like working this out with your partner.
Also, I know this wasn't mentioned directly in the thing, but if your future mother-in-law is like misgendering you a lot or something, that needs to be a hard line. And if your fiance is at all leaning on that, that needs to be, I have no tolerance for that. That's just me. But I just want to affirm that that is a totally reasonable hard line to draw.
And
that you shouldn't be made to feel guilty or like you're being difficult or like that is 100% like vital to you feeling comfortable and included in that family. And
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, hang out if you are a patron. We're going to be back soon with the top secret sesh. Mary Jane, where can people find you on the internet?
I am on Venmo and Instagram, at Mary Jane French. So it's just at Mary Jane French, and then MaryJaneFrench.com. And when does this episode come out?
29. It'll
be a week from Wednesday.
A week from Wednesday? Cool. That will give me a timeline where I need to call WordPress and tell them that I can't log in and edit my website anymore.
See, this is what the show's about.
Show. Give you a set deadline.
Yes.
But following my Instagram is probably the better way to find shows. Also, I do run a weekly show at the Lyric Hyperion that is Tuesdays at noon called Get a Day Job. We just book 4 comics every week and give them 15 minutes. It's like a workout room. It's like a fun, silly show.
That's one of my favorite places to see shows in LA. Lyric Hyperion is great, guys. Also, CBD lattes.
Yep. We've been out of CBD. We've been out of CBD for a minute, but it is coming back. We should be back on it soon. But yeah, we've got CBD lattes. We've got matcha. I also
got
will make,
to have matcha.
If I'm working when you come in, because I do work there, I will make off menu shit for you. Summer's coming up. I'll make you a shorty, which is basically just like a cold cortado.
Oh my God. Yes.
It's real, real good. It's real frothy and does not have the ice in it. You just put like equal parts milk and espresso and then the other ice and then shake it and it gets real big and then you put it into like a wine cup.
Whoa. I want that.
Come in, I'll make it for you.
Okay.
I'm trying real hard to make this a summer menu.
Oh my God, I want my life to be a summer menu.
I also have an espresso
you guys
float.
The arm.
I just flourished.
Just did the flash mob arm.
Full gif.
Thank you so much for being on the show.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you all so much for having me.
Of course. Right. And we'll see y'all next week. And if you're a Patreon member, if you want to learn about the Patreon stuff, go to patreon.com/ladytolady. We got a whole bunch of new stuff going on over there that we're having a fun time with. So check it out.
And really cute merch.
And really cute merch.
All right. We'll talk to you next week, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Can't get enough of us? Subscribe to our Patreon for exclusive bonus content, access to our first 100 episodes, and more. Go to patreon.com/ladytolady now to sign up. As little as a dollar a month keeps a roof over the glam cave and keeps you laughing, even when your coworkers stare. That's patreon.com/ladytolady.
And don't forget to follow us on social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at Lady to Lady Comedy. Join our Facebook group, Lady to Lady Podcasts, to chat with other fans about episodes or even post your own lady problems. Check out our website, ladytoladycomedy.com, for show notes, videos, and merch.
And duh, follow our individual accounts, Babs Gray, Brandazzle, and Testify Barker for jokes and info and where you can see us perform live. And if you want to send us snacks, stickers, or a lock of your own hair, I don't know, whatever, our P.O. Box is 412-794 Los Angeles, California, 90041. And please, leave us a review in iTunes, but only if you like us.
We love you.
We love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.